Lock and load.
Nobody knew who the hell he was.
Or have lived in a Muslim-majority country. I know because I am one of them.
How's that hokey-changey stuff working out for you?
He's now our president. He's our president.
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
Taking back America, one listener at a time. This is the Bella D'Angelo Show.
You don't have to point at me, for God's sakes.
Oh, but I like the point. That's what I'm into. I'm into pointing. You know.
And don't even ask me what's funny tonight, because you should know the routine by now, I would hope.
Oh, come on. I'm a former U.S. paratrooper. I got to have it pounded in my head every night. You know, like. Pound.
I might just start pounding you in the head. I just might actually do something like that.
Oh, seriously? Come on. Haven't you ever had one of those days like I have? You just snorted. I heard you.
Oh, one of those days? Did you even read my text messages? What the hell I've been doing these last couple of days? I you know, sometimes I feel like I'm, you know, I'm running so fast that I feel like, you know, like I used to hear in the oil field, a sled dog hooked up backwards, or like I'm herding stray cats running uphill while pushing a boulder. I don't know. It's been just insane, but we got a great show tonight now that we can finally kind of focus here now that we finally put everything together. So we have Tom DePell, who's running for state senate. And then we also have a fan of the show, Luke DuPont. Apparently, Emmer and some other batshit crazies want to redefine marriage so you can formally marry that duck of yours.
Well, you know, I would, but, you know, when it, first of all,
I wasn't going to question the relationship with the duck.
All right.
And I wouldn't judge you. I honestly, you know what? You seem to get along. I never hear you guys arguing. You never walk
really?
In.
Really? You haven't heard us argue. Call us in the middle of the day. We argue. And trust me, first of all, I just got him out of therapy.
No, that was me.
No. Seriously, I got Eddie out of therapy. Ask me why I got him out of therapy.
Why did he go for therapy?
He was hooked on quack. Mm. Come on. That was pretty good. And then I had to take his computer away from him. You know why I had to take his computer away from him?
Now, this is beginning to sound like we're talking about Miss Yoga Hot Pants.
Well, we had to take his computer away from him because he was trying to pick up chicks. It's going to be a long night, isn't it?
Thank God I have a glass of wine. Hey,
well, you know, you should be drinking wine. You're Italian, you know? I mean, that's what Italians do. They drink wine. They talk with their hands. They babble a lot. They start wars they can't win. That's what Italians do. I mean, be honest with you. You know, Italians invented good food, but Americans perfected it. Hey, listen, we got Tom calling in. Let's get this done. You ready for this?
Yes.
All right. Tom, can you hear us?
Yeah, I sure can.
All right. We have had some marvelous, technical difficulties. So that's why we're redoing the show, and we're so happy that you're willing to come back.
Well, I joked with Tom. I told him that it was three was the charm. And then, poor Tom, all of your yard signs are being yanked out of your yard. And I told him that it was my batshit crazy progressive liberal relatives that were terrorizing you. But anyways, thanks for coming back on. We finally got this. We got the sound check. We had the producer here earlier to make sure that this all went well, because I'm really I love your campaign. I love what you stand for. I believe that you will win. So go ahead and share with us a little bit about your background, and then we'll get into your campaign, and then we'll get into some of the other topics that we want to get into this evening. So take it away.
Well, thanks so much for having me back on here. So a little bit of background about me. I've got six kids. That kind of usually sets me apart within the campaign field. We homeschool our kids because we're concerned about what's going on in schools with critical race theory and those different kinds of items. It's something that we hear a lot at the doors, too, that parents are very concerned about that. I've got a small business with 20 employees that I've had for 14 years, and very blessed to have that. It's very successful, and thankful for everybody that works so hard there. And been married to my wife for 14 years as well. And we decided to jump into the political sphere here and try to make a difference. We really thought that now is a time for us to take action. We couldn't sit around and be idle anymore. And that was really a motivating factor is for the future of our state, our country, our children, and our posterity. We had to take action. So that's a little bit about myself. And in terms of the campaign, we're running an excellent campaign. We've got great people on the campaign. We've got great volunteers that are working really hard. We've been out door knocking nearly every day apart from Sunday. We get out there for probably a grand total of 10 to 15 hours a day when everybody's combined up. So we've already talked to basically every known primary voter in the district at least one time. And everybody's working so hard and so excited about moving our conservative principles forward and to the Capitol that we're starting back over on the district, and we're pushing forward to go ahead and door knock the entire district again before the primary. Now, unfortunately, I have a primary challenger. This gentleman was in the House of Representatives, not in the Senate, and we beat him badly for the endorsement on the first round of balloting. I got almost 70%, and then the rest of the vote was split between him and another candidate. And unfortunately, he's decided to throw his hat in the ring in the endorsing process in the primary. And, you know, within that, it is a very big distraction away from the general campaign and reaching out to voters in the general election. It's a drain on resources. And I think it's unfortunate that he's done that. It's his right to. But I do think it detracts from what we're trying to do in our district. So that's a little bit of a summary of where we're at. And of course, you mentioned our signs too, and it's really been crazy. The liberals have stolen over 25 of our signs now, or spray painted, defaced them, written profanities on them, and done all kinds of heinous things. They have no respect for the First Amendment. And they don't have respect for the things that they're writing on our signs either. So there you go. You're in a 10,000 foot view, caught up to where we're at in the campaign.
Let me jump in real quick because I just had a thought. I was at lunch today, and I want you to bring. I know you're going to bring some optimism because the conversation around the lunch table was that there was no hope for Minnesota. They didn't think that there was a chance that Jensen was going to beat Walz. They didn't see that we would be able to make any significant changes within our leaders on the conservative side. And I know since we've done this three other times, but we finally got it right this time, because that's why I wanted you back, because you're such a great individual patriot, and I believe you're going to win this. What are you hearing? Because the same things that you have been hearing door knocking, like Cicely Davis, who's running against Ilhan Omar, and so many other, there is a shift and a change within the state of Minnesota, and you're hearing it when you're door knocking, are you not?
That's absolutely true. Many people that we talk to at the doors are really concerned about inflation. They're really concerned about education. They're extremely concerned about crime as well.
Yep.
And within that, within their concern, they've said, look, I've had enough with the Democrat Party. And many people say, you know, I used to be independent, or I used to lean Democrat, and I'm voting Republican all the way down the ticket this time and likely forever in the future. They have gone so far to the left that they've literally left behind many voters in Minnesota. And with this coming wave that we're going to have, we need to elect people that have courage and people that have principle. And you see what the Democrats and the progressives and the extreme liberals have done. They get elected and they push really, really hard for their policies. You can see it right now on the federal level. And they move the ball to the left big time.
Well, they're willing to go two steps forward and lose one step back. So they, what they do is they push their agenda so far to the left that what happens is, just like what happened with the Capitol with our freaking money, the $12 billion, okay, they say, oh, no, we want to keep it all and we want to spend it all on our stupid freaking programs. And, you know, all 12 billion. So it kind of forces the Republicans. What they did was they said, well, we'll compromise. We'll let you keep 4 billion and we'll take the 8 billion and we'll give it back to the taxpayers. Guess what? The Democrats just won. They won what they wanted. They got the 4 billion into programs, what they had wanted all along. And it's a classic tactic. And invariably, they shouldn't have gotten a goddamn dime. Nothing. Zero. That $12 billion wasn't the government's money. It was our money. Mine, yours, and Bella's. And this is what the Democrats are doing. And we need to elect strong leadership that is going to say, no, not no, but hell no. And that's how, you know, and if we could get this message out to the people that, no, we're not going to capitulate anymore, and we're going to stand firm, and we're going to take back what's ours. We have a dang good chance of winning in November. That's my belief.
You're absolutely right, and I hear this all the time from supporters and even from independents and Democrats. The one thing that really resounds with them is tax cuts and getting their money back, because there isn't a single person right now that hasn't seen what's going on at the gas pump, that hasn't seen what's going on at the grocery store, and all of those people are fed up. They know that it has to do with federal policies and state policies, and they want their money back so they can pay for the fundamentals that they have to pay for in life. And, you know, it really has people riled up. It is the economy, and I think the Democrats have really run aground on it.
Go ahead.
I just went to the grocery store. I'm a single guy. I have a pet duck. That's it.
Not pet. It's right. The girlfriend.
It's a girl. No, it's a male. You can't go there. But I just went to the grocery store. I'm a single guy. $142 for 4 bags of groceries. And we're not even talking high-end stuff. We're talking onions and tomatoes, mushrooms, a pork roast, some easy meals I can make in a microwave and stuff like that. It was 4 small plastic bags of groceries.
Hey, how about my conversation? I was at the pool last night, and we know this is going around everywhere. People are having this conversation. I accepted a amazing job opportunity in Bismarck, North Dakota. You know that. And then I got an even better offer, but because of gas, cost of inflation, all those things, and outside sales reps' life has completely changed because we have to drive everywhere to where we're going. I'm $94 a tank. And even though I'm in the cities and I'm not commuting back and forth from North Dakota, I'm still 3 to 4 tanks a week. And this is what I said at the lunch today, is that we have these conversations and they're easier than when Obama was in office. I also brought up the fact that, Tom, people like yourself and so many other people that are running for positions here in Minnesota, you're anti-establishment, you're a business person, you're a Christian, and you love this country, and you really want to fight, and you really want to do good for the state of Minnesota. Now, you mentioned that you're... okay, so the opponent voted for CRT, which I believe that during COVID, one of the big things that opened up the eyes of so many soccer moms, soccer dads, was, you know, here they thought that they had us with the control of COVID. But really what happened is, how are you going to get Miss Soccer Mom and Mr. Soccer Dad to get invigorated and want to get involved in this state and in this country? Well, what happened? Kids were home. How did we finally realize what these criminal felons were actually doing to our children in our schools? And I believe, Tom, this has opened the door for many people to get behind your campaign because they are sick and tired of this crap. They don't want transgender and these porn stars shoved through in books. I mean, it's pornographic what they're trying to teach our children, correct?
Absolutely. And this is a conversation we just had with a gentleman today. He has a niece that was in a school district nearby, in a school nearby, and she's 5 years old. Okay, she's 5. And they were going through and bringing each one of these children into a room and asking them if they thought they were a boy or a girl that day, and if they wanted to dress in a different way.
I'd have punched somebody right in their friggin' face if somebody said that to my kid.
This was in a school in Minnesota?
Absolutely. This is a school in Minnesota, and that pushed that parent to pull their kid out of the school and to homeschool them now. And it's exactly what you said. When you see and hear and your eyes are open to what's going on in our public schools, it'll flabbergast you. You'll just be shocked at what they're twisting and dementing about our history and what they're twisting and dementing in our children's minds. It's become a social experiment. It hasn't become an educational experience.
Wow. The point I was going to bring up that I was bringing up about buying $142 worth of groceries for one guy, that was just for 2 weeks worth of groceries. I can't imagine what it's got, how much you're spending for six kids. You said you had six children?
You got it.
Six children and a wife.
So how much is your cost of living to run your household? Do you know how much it has inflated?
Yeah, our cost of living really has gone through the roof, and for all different reasons. It's at the pump, it's at the grocery store, it's energy cost. So we don't have natural gas at our house, and I ended up having to install alternative energy sources here because it's either propane or it's electricity. And heating your house with electricity or only using electricity is extremely expensive. And so, yeah, we've seen that go through the roof as well. I've seen it at my business too. It's 13,000 square feet, the building is, and that's not cheap to cool and to heat. So cost of living is definitely inflated dramatically over the last few months and years.
I imagine when you go out door knocking, the very first question that you ask when you, you know, said prospect opens up the door is, are you happy with what's going on right now? Because that's what I would be asking. You know, whenever I talk with any of these liberal idiots, and they're too blind and stupid to even see, so it's almost not even worth having a conversation. But I say, are you happy with what's going on? You're happy with $5 a gallon gas? You're happy with, you know, $1,000 grocery a month grocery bill? Are you happy with your electric bill almost doubling or tripling in some cases, your natural gas? Are you is this what you voted for? Is this what you want? And, you know, to this day, I haven't got a straight answer from one of
Right. And you make the point. You don't get a straight answer. It's all of this tiptoeing around and deflecting and throwing out ad hominem attacks and really not focusing on what the issue is. I had a conversation with a nice gentleman today as well about the Constitution. He was not a Republican and he was not conservative. And he said he was a Democrat and he'd never vote conservative. And he said I was on the wrong side of history. And generally, when you're out campaigning, you have a limited amount of time and you say, well, you know, I appreciate your opinion and your perspective, and then you move on. And for whatever reason, I chose to engage and have a conversation with this guy. And he was nice. He was cordial. He listened. But he was very passionate about his side. And in his perspective, when I told him, look, I think the Constitution of our country and our state hold the guiding principles and the rule of law that we're supposed to function within, he said, so you're going to follow the laws of a bunch of men that made a document in an extremely hot room. And I thought, boy, is that the best you got? And I said, look, you know, the Constitution's an amazing document, and he didn't want to buy it. I told him I was a constructionist. I believe that what the Constitution says is what it means. And he said, well, so you don't think it's a living document that can change over time? And I said, that's what we have the amendment process for. And on and on and on. So there are all these different weird holes in the mentality and philosophy of somebody who justifies why we're in the position that we're in. And it's very difficult to nail it down.
That was made very, very clear when that poor lady down in South Minneapolis' apartment was shot up, and you got these protesters out there sitting there going, well, you shouldn't have been dead. And she's sitting there going, they shot at my apartment. Bullets went flying by my kids, and they're going, well, they're not dead. He shouldn't have been shot. And she's yelling at these protesters going, have you all lost your mind? And then it was very clear to me, yes, they have.
Let's explain to the listeners, if you don't know this story. I just caught a bit of it. So this was down in Minneapolis. And what happened? Who was the shooter, and why was he? What was he doing?
It was at Cedar Riverside. He was trying to get at his ex-girlfriend or something like that, and he just started shooting into this apartment through the door, through the windows. Bullets were flying everywhere. I mean, the pictures are just amazing. It was a six-hour standoff with the cops. They tried to negotiate him down, and in the end, they shot him and killed him because he shot at them. But you got all these protesters out there going, you killed another innocent black man. What the hell is wrong with you people? You know,
it's
insane.
It's unfortunate. Right. There's a very small amount of rationality and objective truth that comes out of these stories, unfortunately. And they're highly emotionally charged circumstances now. And humans in general have a hard time being rational and logical and objective just in their everyday lives, much less in an emotional circumstance. And unfortunately, people's emotions have just gotten the best of them, and they've been driven along with passion, and they want to live a lie. They want to believe a lie to stay comfortable in their different political philosophy that they have. Now, you have the juxtaposition of that over the attempted mass shooting in Indiana.
I was going to bring that up next, yes.
Absolutely. The gentleman was constitutional carry, and he had his handgun. He neutralized the shooter within 15 seconds, and it would have been an absolute massacre had that not been the case, if it wasn't constitutional carry and the gentleman didn't have a weapon on him to neutralize that mass shooter. So,
His name was Eli Dickin. And he right. just proved the only way you stop a bad man with a gun is with a good guy with a gun.
Well, and when we talk about the emotion, and then let's jump to your campaign and what you're standing for and what you're going to bring to Minnesota. You know, the thing is when we're talking about all this emotionalism that drives the mentality of the left, part of the problem is that we're proving our stand when we're having, you know, the narrative. It's not the narrative that they want, that we are coming forward carrying conceal, we're taking out the bad guy, and they don't want that, so they turn it around and emotionally try and flip it to where that's the actual criminal. They're actually wanting to prosecute that individual is one of the things that I saw. But
that was in New York, the guy who killed the guy that was trying to rob the bodega, and finally that New York DA, due to immense public pressure, said drop the charges against the owner of the bodega.
But do you see the increasing, the increase of the stories of us, we, they, the patriots that are saying I've had enough and they're going to defend? It's now this is three stories within a very short period of time that are actually making it to mainstream media, which tells me what we have talked about in the past. At some point, we say we're done, we're fed up, we're tired, we're done.
Well, I think we're at that point.
I know that we are. And that's why somebody like you, Tom, and I want to jump because I know your time is valuable and we ran late, but let's talk about your campaign. What are you standing for and what are you bringing when you win your election, your campaign?
So, yeah, fundamentally what I stand for is what America was founded on and what makes America great. It's freedom and liberty. And within freedom and liberty, that means you have the ability to run your business the way that you want, as long as you're not hurting somebody. You have the right to use your property in the way that you want, as long as you're not hurting somebody else. And those fundamental principles of freedom and liberty transfer into general topics that we have to talk about right now. So in education, I don't think it's a subjective thing to say that our children and our next generations are being hurt by the radical philosophy of transgenderism in schools right now. And they're absolutely suffering. They've been hurt by the shutdowns, the lockdowns, and the mandates that have occurred through COVID and the lasting effects of that. These are things that are really getting parents riled up and frustrated and involved. Now, beyond education, within crime. Crime is a huge issue, too. My parents' pontoon boat trailer was just stolen 2 weeks ago. And we've been out door knocking, and we've heard of people's different recreational vehicles being stolen at record rates. So these different items, they have to be fully funded in terms of the judicial process and the adjudication of cases. There's a 1,500 case backlog in Washington County right now. These judges and the justice system has to be funded so justice can be served here and criminals can be put behind bars. So you have those issues. You have gas out of control. We can suspend the gas tax immediately. There's no reason to have a gas tax when you have a $12 billion surplus.
Oh,
There's no reason we're not drilling our way out of this thing. Someone who, me myself, from the oil field, I was just out there the other weekend, and I brought that up at lunch today again. You know, they have rigs that they are ready to put up in the air, and what?
Put that mic closer to your mouth. What did I tell you early? Get that thing right up against your mouth. She tends to drift away, and, you know, she's like, you know. And I'm the one who's got to watch the volume levels, and I'm watching it get smaller and smaller.
So that's why we know we got you tonight, Tom, because your volume levels are great, so we're going to get your message out. But, you know, this is all preventable, and that's why somebody like you standing up and fighting for Minnesota, fighting for your family, you're living the crisis that we're all living, and it's what I have said. But when it finally hits the pocketbooks of everybody, and when people are making decisions, whether they're taking a trip or they're buying groceries, or it's just it impacts you on a daily basis. And that's why I believe that there's a lot of optimism in November, and you're bringing the optimism because you're one of the people that's going to start to help turn this state around.
Oh, I believe that too. Where can we contact you? Where can we donate to your campaigns? Give us all the technical information that we need, Tom.
Absolutely. So all the information can be found at DePellForSenate.com. That's D as in Delta, IPPELFOR Senate.com. You can donate there in the upper right, and you can see all of our issues. You can catch up on our Facebook postings and Twitter postings and follow us there as well. And any other information that you need, you can request, whether you want to sign, you want to volunteer, or you just want to ask a question about the campaign. We'd be happy to hear from you and help out in whatever way we can.
One last thing. If you want to pimp your business, hey, this is a good chance to do it. If you want to keep it private, I understand that too. But, you know, we give everybody an opportunity to pimp their private life too.
Oh, yeah, no problem at all. So my business name is Minnesota Dental Lab, and I have some gigantic 4x8 signs up on my roof. So there's really no secret that I'm running for Senate and that I own that business. It's bright red and right along Highway 61 and 494 in Newport. So that's who we are. We've got a bunch of excellent employees, and we strive to put out the best work and best product that we possibly can.
Oh, I'll bet you just recently loved when they tore up the Wachota Bridge 10 years after they built that damn thing, huh?
That's really backing things up. And thankfully, I come from the south. I live right off the Mississippi River, and I'm coming up from the south going north, and I've got a frontage road. And every time I see that line, I feel so bad for everybody waiting there, but I've got a free pass.
Hey, Tom, do you have any upcoming events if people want to meet you in person and shake your hand?
We actually just had a meet and greet last night at Ferber Farms in Cottage Grove. It was an awesome event. We had a ton of supporters turn out, a really excellent Q&A. Everybody was really fired up to come out and volunteer and work on the campaign. Now we are going to be completely and totally focusing on door knocking and different advertisement campaigns within the district. That's where we've turned our attention to, and we're going to be turning out as many voters as we can to the primary.
Well, I want you to know that you're not alone. In CD4, we've got Mike Sharp, who is running as for representative in the same, almost identical, same conservative values and reasons as you. We've got so many people and so many new faces. Rod Sylvester, it's just amazing.
Maylor.
Maylor, Cicely Davis. I mean, people, you know, it's people have had enough, and they're coming out, and they're ready to go fight and go to war to save this country. And God bless all of you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I'm so appreciative, too, of you guys having me back on, and also for all the different conservative representatives that we've been endorsed by in conservative groups. We're super grateful for all the support.
You got anything else, Bella?
Just thanks again, Tom. And we will definitely get the link out to you so that you can promote it. And you're welcome anytime on the program again.
All right. Sounds great. Have a nice evening.
You too, Tom. Take care. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow. What do you think of that? I mean,
it's what I said at the lunch table today, you know, because everybody was kind of down and out and, you know, there's no chance, there's no hope. And you know, I love that audience because, you know, I instantly was able to bring my points to them that, hey, look, when they were talking about, well, you know, when Waltz and Frey let the downtown burn, I said that was the dog whistle to the rest of the country. Saying, you know, this is the new norm. We're just going to say, pound sand, we don't care. Where are you going?
I keep talking. I'm just doing my thing. Don't worry about it. You know, I'm kind of going to like a dog scratch my butt over here, you know. I mean, don't worry about me. You keep that mic up close to your mouth.
But, I mean, it sent a dog whistle to the rest of the country. It also sent a message to Minneapolis and St. Paul that it was okay to criminally take over the city, but it backfired there, too. And that's what we talked about earlier. People are fed up with the crime. I wish I would have written down, it's a prominent restaurant bar owner who has been closing down early because of, what?
None.
Closing down early because of the crime. And I've said this, you know, we, Minnesota, 10,000 lakes, we're not going to become the next Chicago unless we take the state back and we put some law and order and some sense and sensibility behind these leaders. And I have optimism when I see Maylor, Cicely Davis, Tom DePelle, these other individuals that are stepping up and saying, oh, hell no. And like what Tom said, the messages at the door, you know, Cicely brought up, and, you know, we got to get that show up on the website as well. But Cicely brought up the same sentiment that Tom was talking about that he's hearing at the door. People are tired. People are fed up. And we are getting ready for our next guest to come on, Luke DuPont. If you think that it isn't batshit crazy enough to be shoving CRT, there's some bill that I guess Tom Emmer actually voted for to redefine marriage. So, as I said, you can. I didn't know what's his name. I didn't know he was a boy. I thought he seriously was possibly your girlfriend, the duck.
Oh, no. Eddie's a Drake. Yeah. All his life, he's a goofy duck. Oh, here we go.
Something you're not telling me.
Oh, there's probably a lot I'm not telling you. All right, hang on here.
And then do that.
All right, we got Luke on?
You got it.
Oh, wow, look at this. You know, we've had so much problems with technology trying to get this system figured out. And amazingly, we're tonight. Winning. We've got it figured out. We're up. You know,
so that's phenomenal.
Welcome to the show, Luke. This is the Bella D'Angelo Show. I'm Joe Mansheim, as she calls me, Man Bun or Man Crazy or Man Idiot or whatever name she could come up with at the moment. But I'm co-hosting it with Bella. And I hear you've got a few things on your mind concerning Representative Tom Emmer.
Well, just like Immanuel Kant can't. Turns out Emmer pulled a Flemmer when he made that Whitesnake mixtape full of power ballads to Hitlerian Marxists. That's what I have to say about that. He's monetizing on people with dysphoria disassociation disorders. He's breaking constitutional separation of church and state by telling religious people they don't have rights to their belief sets. And language is critical in the construction of the communication about universally objective reality. Without some sense of common reality, we don't really have any possibility of common ground, now, do we? If one changes language just to feed their delusion of reality, or they express the denial of universal objective reality, they are an enemy of truth and perhaps an enemy of all that is universally progressively good, actually progressively good.
Hey, I will say, you didn't come out of the gate swinging tonight by any means.
No offense. I
absolutely dare this man to show up and actually debate me man to man. I doubt that he even knows what a man is anymore.
I was just going to say, that's a stretch saying man to man. So let's get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, hold on. Let's step back a second here, Luke.
First of all, breathe.
I'm a simple biker and trucker, and I graduated third from the bottom of my class at St. Louis Park. And so could you translate everything you said into...
Well, first of all, so Luke is a fan of the show, and... You messaged me earlier about a vote that Emmer voted on, redefining marriage. And then I called you. There's a couple of things that we want to talk about before you're off the air tonight with us. So there's that. And then there's downtown Minneapolis, which you were so kind to talk to me as I was almost hyperventilating driving through parts of Minneapolis. And then I got into some of my personal dealings, and you wanted me to share that tonight, which I'm willing to as well. But let's start with Emmer, because it was a vote to redefine marriage, correct?
Essentially, yeah. I mean, they're saying that from the federal government level, that the states no longer have a choice to depict marriage as they see fit. And on top of it, it's so completely unscientific, on the basis that there is something called natural language progression. You and I talked about that a little bit, Bella.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what are they saying? A guy can marry a cat if he wants to, or what? You know, I mean.
It's getting sort of to that point, and you know, in the clinical psychology world, there's people that have attempted to marry their automobiles.
There's another choice for you, your bike. I'm opening up the field for you. I mean, I know you said you're single. You've got a duck. You got a bike.
Hey, listen, to be honest with you, I did have a bike over in Italy that we actually called La Bianca Puttana, which translates to the white whore, because every time I got on that sucker, it cost me money. You know, I mean, a lot of money. I actually had one, and just, you know, the little levity here, I had one called the menstrual cycle, because it ran 3 weeks out of the month and 1 week out of the month. It just would not start.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And it was also blood red.
Okay, that's phenomenal. Good grief. Good grief.
So here's it. This is what I was talking about. Dave, who helps produce this show, which, by the way, this show will be up on the website, thebelladangeloshow.com, by end of tomorrow. It'll also be up on the Facebook page, and then it'll be shareable. But, you know, my point was this: how detrimental can this really be? And I gave this analogy to Dave that was saying, gave this to you, Luke. I remember when it was announced that Target was okay with gender neutral bathrooms. And it sent everybody up in an uproar, and then it didn't go anywhere. And as outrageous as this is, you know, it's going to catch attention. It's going to piss people off. And just like CRT and the pornographic teachings to our children, it's just reinforcement to just how bat crazy the left has gotten.
Well, so let's just, before we get too deep into that, let's just make sure that when we say the left, we're talking about a specific group of people, because we're not talking about specifically just Democrats, okay? Because there are people that actually vote Democrat, and they're a little bit more close to what one might call the center, if you actually understand political science.
Correct.
As supposedly Emmer went to school for political science. I don't know if I really believe that. And if he did, I'd like to see his GPA. Because this is strictly Marxism. That's hardcore Marxism, and that's where Hitler came from. That's why I said Hitlerian Marxism. You know, I mean, that's where people like Stalin and Mao come from, and the starving people in North Korea because of their dictator. That's where this sort of stuff comes from. And, you know, the man is monetizing up people with disorders.
Yeah,
we should truly care about these people. But the thing is, we do not need to try to make money on people that are suffering. One of the key factors of this. You know, absolutely.
You know what you're just making? You know what you're just stirring up? I don't know if you guys know who Trevor Loudon is.
No.
Well, he's on. Anyways, Trevor Loudon was on this show probably about a year ago, and he was talking about the deep roots that communism, Marxism had established a long time ago in the Iron Range, and how it had been some of the schooling early on of people like Walz and many other of these political leaders. And it really surprised me that they had ties to communism and Marxism. But, you know, now it really doesn't surprise me, because they've gone so far, far left. That's what I was saying to you, Luke, earlier, was that they're going to take a shellacking in November. And it's exactly because of policies like these that nobody wants, nobody cares, and it's so far outside of the scope of the mainstream Democrat that can identify. I mean, my lifelong Democrat mother is now registering as an independent. That's not because she's my mom. It's because she knows the party left her.
Well,
so these people, the Democrats and Republicans, are both Americans, and they don't see themselves as anything but. And when you talk to these people, like, just actually go out and talk to people, the people that are in America, they care about the issues. They don't care about red versus blue. And I got to tell you, if you're talking about the reason why we had World War II, the bloody reason why we had World War II, absolutely people care about that. Okay. And this is the sort of stuff that got Hitler into power. By changing words, you are changing people's minds.
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of the things that, like, I served at the end of the Cold War. I was with the 82nd Airborne over in Vicenza, Italy, and I was actually literally there when the wall fell down or was torn down. And one of the things that we kept running into, whether it was in Istanbul or Vicenza or Rome, Milan, Munich, was Soviet sleeper cells everywhere. And I mean, they were deep cover. And it was my firm belief, and not just my firm belief, it was the government's and everybody else's, that we're working in S2 and G2 intelligence, that our country had been infiltrated by not just one, but thousands of Soviet sleeper cells. And that was just reinforced recently by, you know, the 14, the little hottie that was, you know, they picked up and they traded back to Russia. But a lot of these people became teachers. They, instead of going for politics and going for bribery and spying and blackmail, they went to the universities. They went to the elementary schools. I firmly believe that they have infiltrated the very foundations of our society. And people will call me a conspiracy theorist, but all I have to do is just say, well, look at the 14 they just picked up in Philadelphia a couple of years ago. I think they're here, and I think they're what is behind all of this. You know,
I'm not so concerned about the Soviets as much. I just paying attention to just modern situations. I think that China's likely have people here.
Oh, absolutely.
We already know that. I can't remember what was that guy's name that slept with some Chinese spy in the federal government. I can't remember the guy's name. Swallow something.
Yes.
Swallow. Eric Swallow.
Eric Swallow.
Eric Swallow.
Which is I got to tell you, an unfortunate last name for that particular individual, because you got to wonder what he swallowed.
Well, and then on
okay.
top of that,
you got
Feinstein, who had a Chinese spy, you know, as a driver for 20 freaking years. You know, I'm just seeing it's a combination of both of them, and probably North Korea, you know, and God knows how many Iranian, Afghani, and Syrian and Somali sleeper cells we've got operating here.
I'm not so concerned about the Somali, other than the fact that one of the reasons they came here, from this is from my understanding, okay, from having talked to specific people that I'm aware of that I can't really name by name, because I just won't, and I would like to respect these individuals. The FBI basically gave them a deal to spy on their own country, and that's why they're here. They got a deal to come over here. Okay, so I'm not really concerned about Somalia, because the fact is that Somalia is an absolute nothing of a country. And there's a reason they're here.
Yeah,
okay?
Get away from get away from the crap hole they left. Trust me, I know all about it.
Right, and I know plenty of Somalians that are phenomenal people. You know, they just had to have the opportunity to actually be able to express their abilities that they were given, you know, by, if you believe in such a thing, a creator entity of sorts. So speaking of Iran, I did actually trace the word marriage myself. If you actually look at to the history of it, it is absolutely religious. Okay.
Yep.
So this is unconstitutional for them to do this, but I traced it to Vedic Sanskrit. Okay, so we're talking about a word that's minimally 4,000 years old. And this is the arrogance of this individual and all these people that claim to be our betters of sorts. And they think that they are smarter than me. I bloody well dare any one of these people to actually take an IQ test right next to me.
Well, you know,
dare any one of them. And I got to tell you, not one of them. They're all a bunch of bloody liars.
So my question is, who's running against Emmer? Is Emmer going unopposed, or has he got a challenger?
Oh no, I don't know. I texted the DFL through Twitter. I said, "Hell, I'll run in the DFL. I don't care." The Democrats aren't the ones you need to worry about. It's the people that are posing as Republicans and posing as Democrats, and they're not actually Democrats and Republicans. Okay, those are the people you actually have to worry about.
Which you're basically talking about the Republican Party, which is what I brought up earlier when I said Trump was so successful because he got so much accomplished because he just did it on his own, the bull in the China cabinet. But anyways, that was one of the many things that it's still up for the second round of votes, and it's yet to know if it'll actually pass or.
I've already convinced a lot of people I've talked to within a very short period of time. Once I told them what was going on, and I actually explained the issue to them, they said, "Oh my God, I can't believe that. That's insane." And I said, "Well,
not one of
the people, not a single person I have talked to said they're going to vote for him." So,
wow.
Hey, Emmer, come at me, bro. I dare you.
Let's get Emmer on the show.
Yeah, I doubt he'd
come. As I said to you earlier, Bill, he might try. They're trying to get him to come and speak about his issues tomorrow. And I don't know. And I told the individual that told me that's a representative for Andover in Minnesota that if he comes, you tell me and I will show up for that debate. And yeah. I will absolutely recommend a debate.
Well, that's good, Luke. We need people like you. We need more people to stand up and say, "I'm mad as hell. I'm not going to take it anymore."
Well, normally, I mean, to be frank, I'm pretty a jovial guy, but this just set me off. I can't deal with it anymore. These people that keep changing these words. This is our language that you and your children and your friends and your neighbors and your family, they've been speaking for a very long time.
Oh, I feel you.
Absolutely dare you.
I feel you on this because my ex-girlfriend's daughter is trying to tell me all about these binary people that refer to themselves as they and them. And I said, "Hey, you're sitting on a couch. How many of them are there of you right now?" And she goes, "One." Then I go, "Then you're you." That's
so you're talking about the people that have dysphoria, a specific subset of dysphoria.
Yeah, that's what I told him. I said, if you're referring to yourself as a they or a them or a we, then guess what? You're schizophrenic. That's it.
This reminds me.
So schizophrenia is a totally different thing.
Hang on, guys. This reminds me of the show that I did. I don't know. It would have been a year ago, and Keith Haskell was on with me, and we were. There's certain school districts that are allowing these girls that identify as. What's the terminology where they think they're a cat? And they're bringing litter boxes into the schools. Yeah. But where I'm going with all this is it's doing nothing more than waking up more and more people and asking people just how'd you get so batshit crazy and how do we get rid of you? Because this isn't America. This isn't the schooling, the teaching, the lifestyle. This is nothing that we want our children, our families to be around. And they've gone so far, and that's why I have the hope and optimism. And when we were talking, and I know that I don't know how we're going to transition to this because you, Luke, you said,
we'll get there, and I can easily transition this one. Okay. Basically, what I'm going to tell you is these people need medical care, okay? And I mean care. No, yes. No, I'm 100% serious. The thing is these people they do have very intense issues. That you and I will never have to deal with, and that is something that they are exploiting, okay? And that is the sad part about this to me personally, as somebody who has worked with people, okay, for many many years, who have mental ailments of sorts, okay. And so speaking of which, okay, so let Speaking of care, you and I, Bella, talked about I hate using this word, but ghetto of Minnesota. Okay.
Yeah.
Columbia Heights.
And by the way, well, Joe, we have more than 1 minute because we started late.
Yeah, we're down to 50, so we'll get Luke. We got two more minutes with you.
No, we don't, because we started so late.
No, this is the clock right here on.
Oh crap! Okay, so we'll go the personal side. So we got about 2 minutes left. Sorry, Luke.
So you tell me, Bella, what part of the policy in Minnesota are we having that we're not uplifting these people that are in areas that one might call a slum or a ghetto or just the poor areas of town? Why aren't we uplifting these people? Why are we keeping them in their place and convincing them they can't be anything better than that? Because that's what it sure as heck seems like that a lot of the people in our current place, at least in Minnesota, are doing. Observationally in Chicago, I've been there quite a bit, quite often, and it seems to be quite often as well the same. So,
and the problem is, it's only going to get worse because of everybody.
These are
cost of living.
Capable people.
Yeah, they're capable, but the problem is what we have is that, like in South Minneapolis, we have outside of the ring, we have all these people that all these new houses going up, and everybody's saying, "Who's buying these houses?" Everybody who's fleeing out that has money that is fleeing out of South Minneapolis is fleeing to these outer rim neighborhoods. So what is that going to do? That is only going to degrade the property values down in South Minneapolis. And before you know it, we will have a true ghetto down there. And this is, and once you're down, it's hard to come back up. If you go to 26th and Bloomington, it is just amazing what you would see there.
Well, and this is what, and actually, that's saying how long we've been recording. I don't
right.
think
we, yeah, we, but, we go for 1 hour.
Well, we'll see if we run. I want to make this point. What I continually hear is the fact that Cicely Davis and so many of these other people that are running in these key positions, they're hearing from the Democrats. What the hell are you doing for us? It's hitting them in the pockets and in the heart and in the mind. And it's turning. That's why I say the party is turning on itself. I mean, if you look at the polling numbers, if you look at the support from the Hispanics and even the Black to the conservatives, it's going to be a tidal wave in November. They are understanding that they are not doing anything for the working man and the working class. The Democrat Party walked away from the Democrat Party and the working man and the working class and the families years and years and years ago. That's why they don't identify with the party anymore, and they're so above those that they are talking to. They haven't learned anything from the past, and they don't have a message that's going to deliver any support or win for them in November.
You know, if you look across the country, Luke, you know, if you want to talk about hope, you look across the country and how many ethnic minorities are running as Republicans and as conservative Republicans, not just Republicans. These people are coming out saying, "I'm a conservative and I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore." And that's what gives me hope every day.
You know what gives me hope? The fact is that we're reassessing our education system, because you want to give yes. these people that are minorities, that are maybe disinfortunate, because I've known people of all races, and I hate bringing up race because that's nonsense. Who cares? You want to get into Marxism? Let's talk about race. I'm Jewish, so I have kind of an issue with that crap. Okay, so it has nothing to do with that. There is nothing racially identified as an IQ that we have found.
Exactly.
There's nothing genetic. And you know what? If we had an improved education system, these people can lift themselves up because they actually have the power.
Oh, absolutely. Okay?
And that's why we need to reassess our education system, not just in Minnesota, absolutely nationwide. And we need to stop teaching anti-scientific and manipulating people with disorders. We need to stop manipulating these people with these disorders. We need to give them the proper care they need. However, that does not mean that you say that this is how you're supposed to be.
That's one of the key platforms for Scott Jensen's campaign platform. If he wins the governorship of Minnesota,
you can
is going
put him
after
in touch
education.
With me. I'd be happy to help him. I've talked quite a bit with the clinical psychology community internationally. So that's what I do. So.
I can help do that. Scott is actually in my phone. So we have about 6 minutes left if I'm reading the clock right. And then we're up to the top of the hour and then we got to wrap up.
Bella, tell us about what's going on with your mom.
Oh, I'm going to try.
You got you got more than 6 minutes or what?
Well, I gotta keep.
Let's talk about what it mean. What does it mean to be family, Bella?
Huh?
What does it mean to be a friend?
You know, I saw a thing on Facebook, and when it said, you know, the person that always has your back, that is your biggest supporter, and, you know, teaches you what love is, and I can go on and on and on, and that's the one thing that came forward that I posted on Facebook is, when you've never known what love was, and you discover it, even though I'm 55 years old. My mom said the same thing, ironically, just like a week after I did. And we're each other's best friend, we're each other's own family. And it's just been so heartbreaking because since April 17th, she's been hospitalized. And when she survived sepsis and pneumonia, I prayed and I thanked God. And I said, you saved her from that. I think we got a lot of years ahead of us. And it was only a week later that she ended up falling. And then she got dehydration, and the treatment of the dehydration triggered the fluid on the lungs. And I had such a bad panic attack this morning, and I couldn't understand. And I changed gears with you, Luke, when you were talking to me. And I said,
sure.
You know, I don't understand why the stress is getting so high when I don't understand these people that I thought were my friends, you know, weren't showing up to the hospital. Where was the support? And then you said something that made a lot of sense, that brought some clarity to me. And you said, well, you said your mom is your circle of friends. You don't have a circle of friends, which is part of your DNA. Yeah. And
your community. We are social creatures. It's literally built into your DNA. We are affective, emotional creatures. We know that exists as at least, according to Dr. Mark Solms, in the periodontal gray in the brainstem. Okay. We know that's that low level, okay? That's the earliest form of our brain that is the brainstem itself. And
well, that's what I get. That's what I get.
Let's just put it this way: Emmer is a shark. What did I say to you before, Bella?
You said a lot of things. Which one do you want me to?
That's okay. I said that sharks are afraid of dolphins because we have a community.
Right.
Because we have the dolphins have a community,
right? And
guess what? Sharks will run from dolphins. And hey, Emmer, I know why you're running. Hey, I know why you're running, buddy.
Hey, we're running up against the clock. We're now seriously down to less than 3 minutes. Luke, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank
Absolutely.
You so much for you brightened my night when you made me realize that I got to build I don't know, I need a new circle, because it was just very eye-opening to me that during all of this, nobody showed up at the hospital. And, you know, you do turn friends into family, and that's why the oil field has always felt like family. And I'll wrap out of this, Luke, thanks, and Tom, and I'm going to take it from here. That's why you heard me and so many people heard my voice change, the lightness when I was talking about running to the oil field. And here, guys, I ran out there the other weekend, and I was so excited to get to my first drilling rig. And you know what? I went to over half the drilling rigs out there. Joe, I didn't know anybody.
Hey, Luke, once again, thanks for coming on the show. I'm going to close you out. You're more than welcome to call in anytime.
I'll let Bella do that.
Yeah, we'll have Bella work it out. Okay, Luke, we're going to say goodnight. Good night, Luke.
Cool. You too. You have a good one.
Thanks, Luke. Bye. I just want to finish. Oh, wait, did you? You didn't turn. Oh, no, you just turned Luke down.
Yeah, I just turned Luke down. Come on, you think I'm crazy? No, we got a show to cut. You know.
No, it's just it was a depressing trip out to North Dakota. There's a new sheriff in town out there, and I'm not part of the family. I'm not part of the team. All I know is that I want to ask for thoughts and prayers for Lily Yoga Hot Pants. We got hospitalized fourth time last Saturday. She has not discharged yet. And I asked her what she wanted me to talk about on the show tonight. And she said, whatever your audience wants to hear. Well, the audience wants to hear that Yoga Hot Pants is going to come back on the show. Because you know what, Joe? She's won everybody over again on the seventh floor. She's in 710 of North Memorial Robbinsdale. But anyways, I want to say thanks for a great show tonight. Tom DePell running for Senate. And Luke, who is a big fan of the show, bringing up about Emmer and so many other things. And Joe, thanks again for another great show.
Well, you know, I'd like to say, first of all, I had two moms, or I had a biological mother and I had a mom, and I got to meet my biological mother at the end of her life. But my mom raised me, and both of them passed away literally in my arms. And you hang on to that yoga hot pants, because, you know, I wake up every day wishing I could just for one lousy second go, Mom, help me out here. I'm screwing this shit up. You know, and you don't realize how valuable your mom is to you until you can't hold that hand anymore. So, listen, we had one hell of a great show tonight. We're going to be doing this a lot more. We're going to have a lot more fun. We're going to make this as interesting as possible. And, Bella, you got the last word. Go ahead.
Good night. God bless. God bless America. And ciao for now.